Today on The Journey.
It's not so much how we played the game yesterday, but it's how we're playing the game today. Now that fact should give us comfort because we can blow it and still recover.
Your delegated power to shape a watching world begins in a place much more intimate. Fail there and the world stops watching. Ron Moore is here to help you keep that primary influence in focus so that the world will see and glorify your Father in heaven. We'll get to that right after a brief word about Ron's daily devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 reflections, you'll discover truths about Jesus and yourself that you may have never seen before. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount, and you'll find it on the web at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Impressing My Influence on the Journey.
Here's a question today. What will your legacy be? What will our legacy be? At the end of the day, that's the question. Take your Bibles and let's turn to the New Testament, book of 1 Timothy. We're using three short letters in the New Testament, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, often called the pastoral epistles, written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy and Titus. We're using these as the primary source of our study, and we're using the character traits found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as the framework of our study. Now, these character traits are written specifically for elders in a church, but they apply to every one of us. And so we're using those to see what it looks like to truly build a legacy that pleases God. To this point, we have seen in chapter 3, verse 1, here's a trustworthy statement. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, it is a noble task that he desires. The first point we saw, the first character trait, a passionate desire to influence others for Jesus Christ. That word sets one's heart means to stretch oneself forward to grasp what God has in store for us. Legacy begins with a passionate desire to follow hard after Jesus. And when we say follow hard after Jesus, we're not just putting out a phrase. We're talking about reading His Word every day. We're talking about worshiping Him, not just when we sing songs on Sunday, but every day. We're talking about being connected with other believers because the Christian life was not meant to be lived solo. We're talking about knowing what your gift is and using it because every believer has one gift and should be using it. We're talking about sharing the message of Christ, the five essentials, following hard after Jesus. Do you have that desire, a passionate desire to follow hard after Christ? Second characteristic we looked at was this. Here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach. We said that above reproach does not mean being perfect. None of us could do that. But above reproach literally means one who cannot be taken hold of, not open to attacks. A person who lives above reproach lives his life with no handles. And when an accusation is given to them, no one can grab onto that accusation and pull them down. The pattern of their life does not have sinful things attached to it. Now, as personal as those things are, today we want to get even more personal. And we want to go inside the walls of our home. Here's a trustworthy statement. 1 Timothy 3:1, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach. The husband of but one wife. Literally, a one-woman man. Now, throughout church history, there's been a lot of discussion regarding exactly what this meant. But the emphasis here and the interpretation that best fits the context is this. A husband who owns his influence is faithful, loyal, and attentive to the needs of his wife. He is a one-woman man. By the way, not one woman at a time. A one-woman man. And a wife who owns her influence is to be faithful, loyal, and attentive to the needs of her husband. She is a one-man woman. Commitment to marriage. As Malachi says, be faithful to the wife of your youth, your first wife. Isn't that what you said when you spent all that money and invited all those people and stood up front and said, I promise to be faithful to you for better or worse, for richer or poor, in sickness and in health, till death us do part. I promise that no one's making me promise that. I'm looking you in the eyes. I'm standing before God. I got all these witnesses. You are it. I will be a one-man woman. I will be a one-woman man. This past week, Lori and I attended the Whitefields Foundation dinner. Whitefields is a tremendous ministry in the area. It's also a local partner of the Journey. Pirates manager Clint Hurdle was the main speaker, and throughout his time, he kept saying that his job was to turn boys into men. And so there was a Q&A time, and there was a coach who got up and said, you keep talking about turning boys into men. What are you talking about? How does that happen? And Hurdle said a bunch of stuff, but this caught me. He said, boys are about comfort. Men are about commitment. Let me go on record today and say, marriage is not for boys and girls. Marriage is not for those seeking comfort. Marriage is not for those just wanting to be happy. I am sick of hearing, well, I'm leaving my wife because, you know what? God wants me to be happy. God wants you to be obedient. Then you'll be happy. Marriage involves a commitment for better or worse. Boys and girls are about comfort. Men and women are about commitment. So here's the question. Are you a one-woman man? Are you a one-man woman? Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. The Bible says it better, Lamentations 3, let us examine our ways and test them, and then if we're off base, let us return to the Lord. So here are some questions I have for you. Think through these questions. Be honest before God. Number one. Are you a mental or emotional polygamist? When we are in the Mathari slums and we introduce ourselves, I say, I'm Ron Moore, and I have been married to my one and only wife, Lori, for 33 years. And we say that because there are those there who have more than one wife. But here you can't, right? It's illegal. However, are you a mental or emotional polygamist? Let me ask some questions to help you answer that. Is there anyone other than your spouse who is often on your mind? Does someone other than your spouse cause you to feel affectionate sensations? Are you a man and woman committed to your marriage and your children? Children are not a spring that you can press, and it goes back to its original state. Divorce impacts kids. And if you're going to get the divorce, if you're going to do your own thing, you've already told me that you have no issues with God's word. I mean, you have no desire to obey it. So let's just toss God's word over there. But do this for me before you file, right? Go get the book, Legacy of Divorce, a 25-year study. Secular book. And you read it and you see statistically what happens to kids, and then you go ahead with it. But go ahead with it knowing what it will do to children. Number two, are you promiscuous? Are you involved in a physical affair? Are you involved in a mental or emotional affair? Facebook, by the way, is dangerous for boys and girls who are about comfort. Men and women need to set the guardrails and guidelines in their life. If you're going to be on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or Reddit or whatever new one is going to be out next week. Social media has some great benefits and some dangerous ones. Are you involved in pornography? Men, if you're involved in pornography, you need to admit it and then get help. Number three, are you living dangerously? Are you flirtatious? Would you let your spouse look at all your emails and texts right now? Do you delete certain emails and texts and websites from your device's history so your spouse won't see them? Have you established boundaries in the workplace regarding travel and meetings and car trips and lunches alone with people of the opposite sex? Do you make arrangements socially or in business to cross paths with a certain person? We can't pat ourselves on the back and say we've not had a physical affair if we're having an emotional or mental affair. Number four, are you a legacy builder? Do you and your spouse go on regular or frequent dates? I took Lori out just last night after the service so I could put that one in there. She wasn't as humored as you were on that. Do you spend time talking and dreaming together? Do you have one checking account? Three things blow up a marriage: money, sex, and communication. And you got two separate things with money and all the hidden issues that go along with that. That's not the one flesh relationship God desires. Next one, is your sex life satisfying? Woman, you got to know this. Men are designed by God to need sexual release every 48 to 72 hours. You know, having sex for a guy shouldn't be like winning the lottery. Doesn't happen often, and it may never happen again. That's where intimacy comes. That's where you say, man, I'd marry you all over again. That's where we demonstrate the one flesh relationship. Do you and your spouse pray together? Are you willing to seek Christian counseling? Most people wait until their marriage is hanging by a thread and then go to a counselor as if he or she were a miracle worker. Get the help you need. You are smart people. Use that in your marriage relationship. Are you willing to fight for your marriage? Are you willing to do whatever you need to do to fight for your marriage? Psalm 139 says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Show me where I am screwing up. And then help me to be humble enough to repent and lead me in the way everlasting." Inside your home, it begins with your marriage. That's the most important thing. If God blesses you with children, it doesn't stop there, does it? You have to be parents that God has called you to be, not passive, go along to get along, but engaged in the life of your children in a healthy way. Inside your walls is where the hard work of legacy is done, and Scripture pulls no punches. 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 4. He, the influencer, must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. The word manage actually is a military term. It described a general arranging the soldiers in battalions in military order. And I love that picture because it shows that an influencer, a mom or a dad, has to be engaged in the lives of their children, arranging them in a way that best suits them for the battle, for life. And you're not to be your kid's best friend. You're to be a parent, providing protection and providing guidance and providing discipline. You are the parent, and your children should obey you with proper respect. That doesn't exclude love and grace and mercy and compassion and wrestling matches on the floor and a house filled with laughter and fun. But it does mean that God gives you, the parent, the responsibility to mold that little life and point them in the right direction. God gives you the responsibility to teach your children what it means to love the Heavenly Father and serve Him. God gives you the responsibility to help your children make good decisions. God gives you the responsibility to help your children respect authority. Because if they will not respect you, they're not going to respect their teachers, they're not going to respect their coach, they're not going to respect their boss, and they're not going to respect the Heavenly Father. Ball's in your court. You got to teach your children what it means, what it looks like to follow after Jesus Christ. Turn over to Titus chapter 1, verse 6. Titus gives us the same instruction, and he adds, an overseer, an elder must be blameless, a husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Now, our children are going to be children. Kids are going to be kids. They will not be perfect. But when you own your influence as a parent, you will not accept the fact that your child is a little terror, running around, disobedient, and everyone knows he's a little terror. You're in charge of your child. You are not to give them everything they want. You're to give them the things they need to protect them, to guard them. And they're not always going to like your decisions. But you're the parent. Are you willing to fight for our kids? Your kids. Tough generation they're growing up in. Look again at Titus verse 6. Husband and one wife, a man whose children believe. Now this is speaking to children in the home. We cannot make our kids believe. That comes from God. But our job is to demonstrate to them and show them and tell them in an attractive way what it looks like, not only to talk about God's word, but to live it out. By the way, when you don't do that, you have lost the game, man, because they see that a mile away. When they see that hypocrisy, they just said they don't believe what they talk about. Titus chapter 2 says this, so in every way, we will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. You cannot make your children believe, but you can live your lives before them in such a way, again, in the home where it's hardest to live the Christian life. You got to make it attractive for your kids. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 5. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Again, this is written mainly for elders. And again, the application is broad. Your family is the most important organization you will ever lead. And if you can't take care of your home, pastors, how can we take care of the church of God? If you cannot take care of your home, businessmen, how can you run a business with godly principles? If you can't or won't lead your family spiritually, how in the world can you expect to lead anything God has given you in a way that makes an impact and leaves a legacy? How can you do that? Two things and I'm done. Maybe three, but I think two. Number one, we're in this battle together and we want to help you. And we have all kinds of teaching and resources on marriage and family. We have one thing, MATE, M-A-T-E. It's an acronym for helping your child determine how to do relationship. The M is must have. Here are the things I must have before I'll start any relationship. The A is the add-ons. This would be nice, but not a must-have. The T is take it or leave it. I can go either way on this. And the E is end of the road. If this person is involved in this thing, I'm not going to start a relationship if I know it. If I learn about it in the relationship, I'm done. And you need to go over that with your kids. We've gone over it with our kids. Fun thing to do. Tunchokin and I have done a lot of stuff on the Biblical Manhood series. By the way, we get about 10,000 downloads a month from oneplace.com. When we did the Biblical Manhood series, it doubled. There's a need out there for this. Modeling and mentoring. teach your kids, and then show them. Modeling and mentoring, responsibility with God, compassion, honesty. One of the most hits have been modeling and mentoring, respect. Take advantage of that. Here's the second thing. If we can keep a marriage together, we've done a good thing. And this is something I studied in my doctoral work, and I am passionate about this. And I love to teach about it. But I got to tell you, every time I know that this is going to be tough for some people. Because in your past, you blew it. You wished you hadn't have, but you blew it. So I have this mixed feeling because I know for some it's like putting burning coals on your head. Our legacy is still being written. And some of you may have some things in your past you wished weren't there. We all do. You can't do do-overs. But I challenge some of you who are now in a second relationship and you have children from the first one. Don't forget them. You are their mother. You are their dad. And if you have an estranged relationship with them, give them a call. Tell them you're sorry. Tell them you know you can't fix the past, but from now on, you want to do things right. And if you're the wife or the husband of that situation, encourage that to happen. Don't be jealous. You married the guy with the kids. So let him at least try to write a legacy beginning today. It's a positive one. And maybe, by God's grace, some things can be restored there. Whatever has happened yesterday, today you can write a legacy that'll count. I don't know how it's going to end for you. I don't know how it's going to end for me. But I tell you what, I've been in the hospital room and hospice room of a lot of people as they breathed to their last breath. Those people never said, man, I tell you what, when I go, I want my boss here. I want all my clients that I wined and dined in the room. They wanted their family there. Because at the end of the day, men and women, that's all that matters. A legacy without your family is no legacy at all. And God says, if you're going to be a man and woman that leaves a legacy, that makes an impact, that owns your influence, you better have your family right there with you. Because that's what counts. You see, boys and girls are about comfort, but men and women are about commitment.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Would you like to sense the anticipation of the people as Jesus stood up to preach? Would you like to feel the joy and wonder as the scales fell from the eyes of the man born blind? Would you like to see Jesus for the first time all over again? Well, that can be your everyday experience with Ron Moore's devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 insightful meditations, Ron takes you on a challenging journey through the life of Christ. Along the way, Jesus will touch your soul and spirit with life-changing truths and tender affection. Journey Through the Gospels is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Life's full of twists and turns, and life moves fast. But the person who lives with temperance keeps balance regardless of the circumstances. Temperance is that inner gauge that keeps control of your life.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your copy of Journey Through the Gospels. This daily devotional will enrich your walk with the Savior and increase your understanding of His life and ministry. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, we invite you to join Ron Moore on the 2020 Biblical Encounter Tour in Israel this coming April. There, you'll experience the power and presence of Christ as you journey through his homeland, recalling his ministry and miracles in Galilee and Jerusalem. Your faith will be strengthened as you touch the land and the lives of those who laid the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ. The registration deadline and final payment are due January 10th. Visit ronmoore.org for more information. Again, that address is ronmoore.org. Join us for the trip of a lifetime. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.